In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go back to the phone.
Please.
Hi, Pete in Belmont. What are you doing, Pete?
Well, I was listening to the Brandon Ayuk stuff, and as a lifetime Niner fan, I have a cautionary tale for Brandon. And my cautionary tale is Delanie Walker. That was a beloved offensive guy. He was redefining the position, a huge part of the offense, loved by the coach and the fan base. He went for the bag in Tennessee, and you never heard from the guy again. And, I mean, it was probably not that much more than what the Niners were offering. I forget. You know, it was a long time ago. But as Brandon goes for his extra 10% of salary, he should really look at things like that. And that's really what I have to say about Brandon.
This is a bad example, Pete.
Debs is shaking his head through the whole phone call.
Well,
but thank you, Pete.
I wanted to make sure that the homework that I was going to do was going to back up my head shake, and he played 7 years with the Niners. He played 7 years in Tennessee. He made 3 Pro Bowls in Tennessee. He had triple the catches in Tennessee than what he had in San Francisco. And yes, he didn't have the same team success, but he got the bag, and then he went out and had 60, 63, and 94 catches his first 3 years.
No, he did
Delanie
well.
Delanie Walker did well.
He did well out there. And by the way, let me add further. I don't care even if he didn't. You're never going to hear me come down a player's road
for getting that bag.
The bag.
Exactly.
The problem with Brandon is he's been offered the bag.
Couple of them.
And he won't take it.
Offered a Gucci.
Okay.
Offered a Birkin.
Major,
with an S.
That's why he is so exhausting. I don't mind if you take the bag. Take the bag. Go or don't, but do something.
Nice. It's almost an Amy Winehouse reference there.
Thank you. You got to do something. So there are tons of examples that, in fact, would have been better. You want to know, and this is maybe going back a little ways, but Pete sounds like he's got a couple of rings on his tree.
He's an old soul.
Yeah, like for me, my favorite example is Alvin Harper, who played next to Michael Irvin with the Dallas Cowboys, and he took a bag to go to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that was when the Bucks weren't pewter yet. They were just creamsicle orange,
wow.
And they were terrible every single year, and he went and got the bag. And he was like, it's time for me to be wide receiver one. Now go look those numbers
up. Oh, I got them.
Give me some numbers. Alvin Harper with the Cowboys, Alvin Harper with the Bucks.
Last year with the Cowboys, he led the league in yards per reception at 24.9. He only had 33 grabs, but 8 touchdowns. Then he went to Tampa, 46 grabs, 19 grabs. Then he went to Washington. 2 grabs. Then he went back to Dallas. No grabs.
Yeah. Sounds to me like he went for the bag to Tampa and got fewer than 100 catches in the rest of his career.
67, Mark.
There you go. So that's a good example. And by the way, even then, you won't hear me criticize a guy.
Yeah.
What a wild thing to do in life. Rip other people for taking the top salary? That's what all of us do.
That's what we try to do.
That's their job. They like, you want to go get the biggest salary? Go get the biggest salary. They'll never, if Brandon, and by the way, those guys all did it as free agents. But this guy's doing it not as a free agent and won't say yes to anything.
Well, he's kind of a free agent.
He's not.
Well, they're treating him like it.
They are.
He's kind of a free agent,
well,
the way that they're treating him.
Sort of, like a concocted version of. I mean, they're trying to trade him.
He's a semi-free agent.
Yeah, they're not cutting him.
No, but he's telling you where he might want to go, And so you're working with those teams to try to make him feel comfortable where he might go. And then he doesn't really want to go there. They're getting clowned.
But I think the larger point Pete's trying to make, and we've heard this, and I might even somewhat agree, that if Brandon Ayuk were to leave the 49ers right now, I think the betting favorite would suggest that his 1,300-yard receiving days are probably over.
Could be.
Especially with the teams we're talking about. Now, if you told me that he wanted to go be a Chiefs, or if he wanted to go be
a Bills,
right? Now we're having a different conversation. But if you want to go be a Steeler or a Brown or a Patriot or a Commander, Yeah, we're done getting 1,300 yards.
Well, maybe now, but down the road, it might be different.
Maybe.
Yeah, and Delanie Walker was 29 when he went to Tennessee. He had already played 7 years with the Niners. So that was a spot where, yeah, you're fully into your career. You're a free agent. You go there and you have a chance to be tight end one, because I think he was sharing catches with Vernon Davis at the time. So, well,
another good point. Yes, yeah, there was an opportunity.
Exactly.
That
for
was
him
kinda,
to grow.
Yes.
And
yes.
For Brandon, you already wide receiver one. And yes, Debo is there, but you get the most targets of anybody. So it's not like you're lacking for targets. You're not lacking for love here. You're just lacking for money.
He might argue that he's lacking for targets, but at the same token, it's like that's here. And all of the reports suggest that when it's whittled down to the bottom, Brandon still wants to stay here. But the weirdest of all things that I think I've heard all summer long about Brandon is now that Brandon wants to stay, but that the number for the Niners has to be higher than it is other places.
Right.
Whether that's because of taxes or what, I have no idea, or because you're emotionally hurt about this. And again, I don't know what's true or not when it comes to that stuff. You know, social media has gotten out of control with Brandon Ayuk. That I'm sure of. By the way, quick aside on this. I think this is funny. And I like Andrew Filippone. Andrew and I, we're not like great friends, but he does something on FanDuel and I go on with him a lot and he comes on with us a lot. And so I like the guy. I really do. Texting with him, whatever. This idea that if Brandon were to end up with the Steelers, then all of your Steelers tweets for the last 2 months are now correct. Sorry. No, they're not. Like, unless you worded them differently, but we saw what y'all said. Trade is done. Brandon's coming to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Wrong. No, factually wrong.
The trade is done.
No, it's not.
And Brandon might be coming to Pittsburgh.
The trade is not done. I don't even know that a framework has been agreed to. But if a framework has been agreed to, then a framework has been agreed to.
Right.
There is not a completed trade. Brandon is not on his way to Pittsburgh. Brandon is not on his way anywhere. Brandon seems to be on his way to John Lynch's office again in sneakers.
He might be in Vegas.
Maybe.
With the fellas.
It'd be good to know. I'd love to know. Is he in Vegas?
Right.
Where is he tonight?
Back home?
Where's Brandon?
Is he in Washington, D.C., watching the game with Jaden?
Yeah, you can't report something. That'd be like if 2 years ago, I'd have been like, you know what? Klay Thompson has been traded to the Mavericks. The guard is on his way to Dallas. And then this year happens, and you're like,
scoreboard.
See?
Scoreboard, my friends.
No. That's a no. No, I think we can look at this. Social media got out of control. And this is what I mean.
It always gets out of control.
But this is what I mean by the Niners are being used as a prop. Everybody knows you're going to get followers and engagement and spin. Send people to your YouTube channel when you start screaming and yelling Niners. Ba-ba-ba-ba, breaking news. Siren emoji. We got this, that, the other. Brandon and Brock. And now Brock and Brandon and this and that and Debo and whoop.
And Trent. Yeah.
Good Lord, like, stop. You're winning. You're winning on your platform, but none of this is real. I just don't think, I think very little of this is real.
Right, but what is real?
I don't know.
What is real is that Brandon Ayuk is not playing football for the 49ers.
Correct.
Right now.
Or anyone.
Right. Brandon Ayuk is under contract, but he's not playing football for the Niners. He's showing up, but he's not playing. That's real. Is there a contract that they're working out? Is there a trade that is imminent? We don't know. All of the reporting has been on both sides of that. We don't know what is real or what is not real. All we know is that your best wide receiver is not playing football for you right now. And does that really matter 17 days away from the opener? No, it doesn't really matter yet. But when will it start to matter? And I think it starts to matter come Monday, like you were saying before, yesterday or the day before, like your deadline, you've had it up to here. And if it's not done by Monday, well, then you're out on...
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon, and you're done with Brandon, and that feels to me like what the team would probably be thinking as well, because as of Tuesday, you have to make roster decisions, yep, and you'd like to know if he's going to be on your roster or not.
They're going to sneak him onto the injured list with that back injury?
Maybe, and I bet you Pearsall shows up on the injured list.
Maybe.
Either the PUP or the IR.
Where are you on that?
On Brandon Ayuk?
On basically like... how far can we go before this actually becomes a problem? You may answer that by saying it already is. You know, I mentioned, yes, I like if Monday at 2 o'clock, that's when we're done with this show today, we will not be back until Monday at 2 o'clock. And,
yep,
and actually about 1:48, you know, Steiny and Gould will be kind enough, I think, to invite us in here and we'll all talk. And if Brandon Ayuk's situation is not done by then, I promise you right here and now, I will say into these microphones, not that anybody really cares, not that this will have a huge effect on the situation, but I will say into this microphone, I am now done with this situation. And if I were the Niners, I would take one of two actions. You can either go to an available trade,
yep,
or you can simply say to Brandon, we're now done here. You know where to find us if you'd like to talk again. And then go play football and go get yourself ready for the New York Jets, which on that day will be exactly 2 weeks away from, yep, coming to Levi's, yep, Stadium for a game. That's how I would handle it. I'm not in charge. I don't know how it's going to go, but that to me is when it officially becomes a real distraction. I think what's been happening up until this point is largely annoying but forgivable and,
sure,
and recoverable. Sure. I think that changes next week.
For me, it's probably Tuesday when the actual roster decisions have to be made. Monday happens, and if Monday nothing is done, you get to Tuesday at 1 o'clock when rosters have to be turned in, and you got to push that piece of paper across the virtual table, and you got to tell the league who your 53 are. That, to me, is when you have to make that decision. And if you're not extended by then, if he's not traded by then... okay, what are we doing? Are you playing football? If you're not playing football, then we'll put you on IR, and you can sit there on IR until we, you know, decide that you're healthy enough to be activated, or we can have you be a part of our active roster, and we expect you to show up to practice tomorrow. So for me, it's Tuesday when the roster gets turned in.
Yeah, okay. Monday, Tuesday.
The same.
Yep.
It's all the same.
Next week.
But,
next
I mean,
week.
Already, to your earlier point, I already do think that it's been a distraction. Has it been such a distraction that you can't recover from it and still win games? Of course not. But in the eyes of the fans, which, again, that doesn't really affect how you play football, but I know that fans are feeling differently about Brandon Ayuk now than they did last February.
I'm arriving at a spot where there's a piece of me now, just because the conversation has happened enough times, I almost, like, I'm reverse interested, if that's a phrase. I'll explain what I mean.
But
no, like I'm interested to see what it would look like without Brandon. I don't want that, but because the conversation's happening, I'm now intrigued. I mean, aren't we talking about, at the core of all of this, aren't we talking about the perceived arrogance of Kyle Shanahan?
A lot of it, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And actually, that's something, maybe let's go there. 888-957-9570. And sort of like how that sits with you. The perceived arrogance of Kyle Shanahan. Meaning, like, sure, I can, we've been to a Super Bowl with a quarterback. Nah, we're going to get a new quarterback because we want a quarterback on a rookie deal. And I feel like we can, this offense can roll with multiple quarterbacks. And then you can totally mess that pick up and then slip and fall into a seventh round quarterback and win with him. And then you can win. I mean, this has been the Shanahan way all along. We can win with this running back. We can win with that running back. We can win with Joe Staley. We can win with Trent Williams. We can.
Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr.
Raheem Mostert wants a raise. You're like, that's funny. You're an undrafted free agent. You what do you make? $2 million? Fine. We'll give you 2.1. Get in here, or else we're going to win without you. How far does that go?
It's gone really far. As I mentioned in our thread earlier, the last 5 years, they've made 4 conference championship games and 2 Super Bowls, and they've done it with, what, 3 different quarterbacks or 4 different quarterbacks? They've had, you know, Jimmy and then Trey, and then you had...
Only 2 have actually taken them to that game, though. Yeah, but yes, I hear what you're saying.
You've had a collection of receivers and a collection of running backs, and you've had, you know, different linemen, the whole thing, as you were mentioning. So I think that speaks to... Arrogance is one word, but it's also just success. And so if you're Kyle Shanahan and you look at what you've done since you've been here, you inherited a roster that was awful. You were 2-14, and Grandy and I did this when you were out of town. We were just kind of joking about some of the names on the roster and what that he inherited. And you have systematically gone about rebuilding it into one of the best rosters. Apologies to Pro Football Talk, who may or may not agree with how good this roster is, but for the last 5 years, you've been playing on that second to last weekend of the year or the last weekend. So if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're thinking, I can do it again. If Brandon's not here, I can do it with whomever.
It's funny the way we translate that. Like, I totally buy everything you're saying, but I think that sometimes, and maybe it's because we want to turn him into a television character or something, we make it sound like Kyle's like a swashbuckler who walks through the hallways and like, I can win with you and I can win without you. Like, I don't think Kyle is that much of a jerk. You know what I mean? I think Kyle, in other words, I think Kyle Shanahan values the people around him, but he also really, really believes in his system and what he's doing. And so do I. I think it's funny sometimes that more people don't. Let's play the Tom Brady comment again from a different angle. We played it an hour ago, talking about Super Bowl hangovers. But listen to it again and listen to what Tom Brady, who was turned down to come be a 49er, listen to what he says about the team, and this was unprompted. He wasn't asked to talk about the 49ers. He was asked to talk about Super Bowl hangovers. And this is on the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I think perspective will determine that ultimately when we look back. So in any team in the moment that I would say loses a Super Bowl, how many times have we lost Super Bowl and then the next year the team doesn't make the playoffs? That happens quite a bit. Yeah. You know why? Because every year you start back at the bottom with everybody else. Whether you win the Super Bowl, whether you finish in 32nd place, you start at the bottom of that mountain that you're trying to climb. And I think someone like the 49ers, for example, they run a great program. I think they have a very good ownership. They have a very good general manager. They have a good head coach. They have a very good quarterback. They have a very good defense and defensive coordinator who they've had. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great fundamentals of what you're looking for to build an organization, those positions.
So Tom Brady, by the way, thinks higher of the 49ers than most fans I talk to.
Exactly.
That's pretty interesting to
me. Loves the ownership, loves the coach, loves the front office.
Loves the quarterback.
Right, loves it all.
He was quoted last year as saying there's so much bad quarterbacking in the NFL, but he likes Brock Purdy.
Right. Maybe he's just lobbying to be Brock's replacement if Brock gets hurt.
Maybe. But like, there's something there, right? Which is to say, like, okay, what if I go, sure, fine, Kyle's arrogant. Kind of a jerk sometimes. So
Right. He is successful. So it's a fine line between success and arrogance. And I don't think that he's arrogant. I've never thought that he was arrogant. No, arrogance is when you let everybody know how smart and how great you are. And I don't think he does that. I think that he is just successful. And, you know, he's confident that what he does and his system and his methodology and his play sheet and everything else that he does and stuff and the roster that he constructs, I think that he's confident in that. I don't think that he's arrogant.
Hmm. Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the week too a little bit. Like, and I know arrogance not a great word, but I don't even mind if he is arrogant. Like, he can back it up. Hasn't that always been the thing we say in sports? Don't be arrogant unless you can back it up.
Back that thing
up. Doesn't he back it up?
He backs it up.
Right, and now we'll get all the calls. But look what he chokes in the Super Bowl. I mean, actually, Tom talked about that a little bit too, which we can play for you coming up next. But glad you're with us. 888-957-9570, the number. We're sponsored by Safeway, Willard and Dibbs.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.